Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1 through 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of 203. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Numbers, the third chapter, beginning with the 40th verse through verse 51. Numbers 3, verses 40 through 51. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Numbers 3, verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names, and from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the toll. After the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money, and wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed, unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites, of the firstborn of the children of Israel, and took he the money, 1,335 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, for a second time in this day, and then we are privileged to gather before thy holy countenance, and we have made a confession that we do believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that we do believe in the Holy Ghost. Lord, to thee, the triune God, we attempt to draw nigh in this afternoon hour, and we are unholy and sinful creatures, and thou art holy and canst not look upon sin. But we have also confessed to believe that thou didst give thyself as an offering for sin, and that thou didst give thyself even unto death. Lord, that we also may need thee, as thou hast given thyself, and as thou hast declared in thy holy word. For we believe that there is a life everlasting, and also that there is a death everlasting, and that it is but a short time that we and our children may travel here below unto thy great judgment seat, that we are so careless by nature, and that all that is of this time does take away the desire of our hearts, and that we have left thee and our father Adam, and that we continue on so, unless thou dost come, unless thou dost spread forth thy healing wings, unless thou wilt come to speak and to say thus far and no further. And then it cannot be only for our neighbor, but that it has to be for us in a personal way. Each one of us for himself has to stand at thy judgment seat, whether we are young or whether we are old. And we have heard also of a sister that had become old, and thou hast taken her away. Remember those that mourn. And wilt thou cause also these callings to have a place in them and in us together, that we may truly believe that there is a life everlasting, and that we may be given eyes to see the shortness of our way, that it is but a shadow that is fleeting, that we are as the grass, that the wind does blow upon, and then it is gone. That we may hasten, Lord, for the sake of our own life, that we may need thee, that it may become for us from our side an impossibility in our own life. Show to us how deeply that we have fallen, that the preciousness of that gift that thou hast given in thine only begotten Son may also be recognized by each and every one of us. That we could not live longer in our life without thee, that we could not continue on that broad road that leadeth unto destruction, we and our dear children, but that that one thing needful may be bound upon our hearts, that thy children also may be given a sense of that urgency, as so that it may become necessary unto them indeed to know whether they are thy own, Lord, that they may also seek to make their calling and election sure, and that for each and every one of us, we may set aside the weight that does so easily beset us, and to run that race that is before us. For they run all, but one receiveth the prize. And thou hast said thyself that that it is but a remnant, that there are but a few that are saved, Lord, that thou may look on each and every one of us. For today is still the day of grace, and thy word and thy callings day by day do come unto us. But being so dead in trespasses and in sins, as the stocks and as the blocks that can be found in this world, that we have no ears to hear and no hearts to understand. But thou who art able to speak unto the dry bones and to say unto them, live, thou canst speak it also to us and unto our dear children. Wilt thou remember us then and descend from thy holy place, and by the power of thy Holy Spirit to be present in the midst of us, and to work with that power in the hearts and the lives of each and every one. Wilt thou instruct in all thy ways, that thy children may be led also from step to step unto Zion. For the leadings of thee, they are so misunderstood, and they do not know the next step wherein they must walk. But they need to be led by thee every moment. Oh, take them then by heart and by hand. And wilt thou instruct and rebuke. And wilt thou lead, wilt thou comfort. And wilt thou in the end give them to sink away under all thy goodness and all thy loving kindness to such a one as they are. Lord, wilt thou so lead us, each one in the things which are spiritual and those things which are eternal. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Bring them in from the east and from the west. Remember them in places where they do suffer persecution. Remember our government and all that do reign and rule over us. Bring us again. Oh, bring us as nations upon our knees, and have dealings yet with us also, that we would not be permitted to continue to increase the judgments that are coming upon us for the iniquity and the sin which is permitted in the midst of us in such a public way. Wilt thou remember us, that we may indeed revere thy holy name again as nations and as peoples, that the unborn may be protected in the place where thou hast made them, and that thy Sabbath day may once again be hallowed in the midst of us as a people, and that we may yet return unto thee, and that thou may return unto us. Do look upon our school, our parents, our teachers, and each and every one that is responsible for educating our children. Lord, that thou may give us to know what our responsibility is, but give us also the ability and the faithfulness and the diligence, but especially the blessing. Look upon them in the days of their youth, and wilt thou cause them, while they are still young, to love thee and thy service and thy day.
And wilt thou be with all that are handicapped and all those and that have special needs of body and of mind, and all those that are in the prisons, the innocent and the guilty ones. And be with all that suffer from addictions in this life. And be with all that suffer and crosses that are not known to us. And wilt thou cause all thy providential leadings to give a man to see the emptiness that is in all that is vain and carnal here below. Oh, that we may be given to seek for that substance which is eternal and that is to be found in thee and in thy holy word. Oh, give us a little opening and liberty also to bring it forth in this afternoon hour. Bring thy word with power in the heart of each and every one. And wilt thou cause us to go from this place with an undeserved blessing out of thy heavenly store. We ask it in the forgiveness of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 236, stanzas 1 through 4, by all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside, matchless, thy works abide, for thou art God. We announce the following young people hope to make public confession of faith Sunday, May 29th in the morning service. Garrett Jan Bredeweg, Lisa Gerda Bredeweg, Timothy Jacob Den Hollander, Craig Justin Fader, Eric Marvin Van Driesten, Denzel Riley Van Driesten, Amy Beth Wubbs. Any lawful objections to these young people becoming professing members of our congregation must be brought to the attention of the consistory by May the 24th. Also, Mr. Garrett Van Hagenbos and Mrs. Hendrika Van Hagenbos Nee Vandenbrink, with 9 baptized children, wish to join themselves to our congregation from the RCNA at Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory and by May the 23rd. Psalter 236, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, what is mine and what is yours? How much fighting is there not over this in this world? Wars and fighting over lands and over goods. Wars in lands among nations and peoples over the whole world, from the beginning of the world even unto the end of the world. The Lord has given laws in His word concerning the protection of our property. We can read them in the civil laws, but we can also read them in the moral law. Thus the Lord says, "Thou shalt not steal." But not only thou shalt not steal, also thou shalt not covet. Thus, we may not steal even in our hearts. That comes before stealing. But it is not only man, it is also the Lord who has property. And that is, in the first place, in a general way, what is it, children, that belongs to the Lord? Well, we read that He was hungry and that He would not ask us for food. And why not? Because His, we read, are the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And so maybe, and that is also the cattle that is on your hills. The Lord, He says, they belong unto Him. And thus the Lord also has property, and that in a general way, but also in a very special way. And that is what we wish to consider with the Lord's help out of our Heidelberg Catechism in this afternoon hour from Lord's Day 13, and thereof only in the 34th question. Lord's Day 13, question 34. Wherefore callest thou Him our Lord? Answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from the power of the devil, and thus hath made us His own property. As so far our Lord's Day, the Lordship of Christ, first over a people given Him by His Father, second over a people redeemed by the Son, and third over a people that submit to Him and by the Holy Spirit. The Lordship of Christ over a people given to Him by the Father. Second, over a people redeemed by the Son. And third, over a people and that submit to Him by the Holy Spirit. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? who is speaking, congregation, that is the Lord himself. That is by his servant, that is by the prophet Malachi. And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking to the priests, we read, who despise my name. What is the Lord speaking of? If I then be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? What does the Lord speak of? The Lord speaks about rights. How much we hear in our days about rights. That a man, he has a right to free speech and so on even. And that a man even has a right in our days to sin. How is that then? Do men have rights? What do you think, young people? Do we have rights? That is not so easy to answer. That can be answered yes, and that can be answered no. There is a sense in which we have no rights. There is a sense in which we have forfeited our rights. And one day we are going to feel that. When is that? That is when we are standing before the judgment seat of God. Which one of us will dare to open his mouth when we are standing before the judge of all the earth and begin to speak about our rights? Then a man would have a right had he obeyed. Then he would have a right to what? Then he would have a right to eternal life. But we have not obeyed. And therefore, in that sense, we have no rights at all. We have a right only to one thing, and that is to die. Because the wages of sin is death. And yet we are alive. Who gave us that life? Not ourselves. The Lord gave us that life. And though we have no right to that life before the Lord, and when it comes to our fellow man, we have a right to it. Why? Because the Lord gave it to us. And thus, no man has the right to take from us our life. We have a right to that life as long as we are given that life from the Lord. And thus, also, the little children, when they are in the womb of their mother, they also have a right to that life. What a great judgment that we do bring upon ourselves. Thus, there is a sense in which, yes, we do have rights. And it is so important in our society that we understand what those rights are, what rights that we have from the Lord, and what rights we do not have from the Lord. Because it may soon be that we are losing those rights. And the Apostle Paul, then he did use them also to his benefit and to the benefit of the true church of God. When he did ask, is it lawful for you to scourge a man and that is a Roman and uncondemned? When he did say that they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, and do they now thrust us out privately? And so Paul understood what that his rights were. And each one of us, we also have a right. And what is it? All that is a right to the freedom in our conscience. Why? Because you and I have to stand before God. No one else can give an answer before God for you or for me than we ourselves. And therefore that right, and that right to believe and to do according to our conscience before God, that is a right, and that is given unto us by the Lord himself. But that does not mean that we have a right to say anything that we please in this world. And it does not mean that we have a right to do anything that we please in this world. But now our Lord's Day, that is not speaking about our rights. No, that is speaking about the Lord's rights. And we do not so very often hear about the Lord's rights in our society. And not only that the Lord has rights, but that the Lord, he has a right to us. We have been speaking about the names of the mediator. We have heard of the personal name of the mediator, who is it, children? That is Jesus. We have heard about the official name of the mediator, that is Christ. That includes the offices of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. We heard last time of another name, and that is the Son, that he is the Son of God. And now we hear of another name yet. And what is that name? And that is the name Lord. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Sometimes we read in the Bible the name Lord in all capital letters. And that is actually the name Jehovah. That is the highest and the most blessed name of the Lord. And that speaks about the covenant of the Lord with his own children. There is so much that is included, that is bound up in that name, Lord Jehovah. But in this Lord's Day, our fathers, they speak about a different name. That is Lord Jehovah. Wherein only the first letter is capitalized for us. And what does that word mean? That word that means owner or possessor. Thus it speaks about something that belongs to him. Something that he has a right to. Something that he has a claim upon. From where does that right come? That right that comes from paradise. That right comes from the fact that he is our creator, that he is our maker. And when he is our maker, our creator, then he has the sole right upon every one of his creatures. Sometimes we speak about a copyright. What is that? When we have made our own original production, and then we will have a copyright. And that is something now that belongs to us, and that no one has a right to just take that and to change it and to use it as they will. And thus the Lord, he has a right as our creator, our maker. and there is not a single one. You say, I am unconverted. That may be. Does that burden your heart? There is not a single one, not a creature in this whole world that does not fall under this rite, that is now exempt from this dominion. He has a right to every beast. He has a right to every plant. He has a right to all the creation. He has a right to every man, because they are made by him. You say in the Bible, the Lord Jesus, he calls the devil the prince of this world. That is true. The scriptures speak about two kingdoms. They are two spiritual kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. We cannot understand it, but we read in God's word how originally that in heaven that the angels rebelled against God. John writes about war in heaven beyond our comprehension. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And that was a warfare begun already in heaven, and a warfare that continues even until this very day, and will continue to the end of the world. He has come with his temptations unto man, who was created in that image of God. Amen. He has succumbed to this temptation. Man has freely chosen that side of the devil. Man has freely chosen the devil to be lord over him. And outside of grace, this does not change. Outside of grace, this continues. There is no desire to return unto our Maker. What a rebellion. No desire for him who has the right over us as his own creature. And as Satan is represented in God's word as that strong man armed that keepeth his palace. And then we read, his goods are in peace. Is that so for us too? His goods are in peace. We have a religion. We know in our mind. But there is peace. There is peace as we go about our labors every day. And we can do our work. And we have difficulties and afflictions in this world. But in our hearts, there is peace. There is no conflict. Because our heart that continues as it was the choice of our father Adam, it continues to choose that same Lord. Read the Holy War. And it remains our free choice, the love of sin, the departure from the Lord, the departure from his commandments. It is all a mystery. But you know what we read in the Word of God? it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Did the Lord not know that man would fall? Certainly. It was even in his decree. And yet we read that it grieved him in his heart. Did it ever grieve you in your heart that you have also deserted your lawful maker and your creator? That you have also chosen another Lord over you. We read about the men of Shechem. They made Abimelech to be the Lord over them. And now that Abimelech, he went and slew all his brethren. But there was that one that escaped. That was the youngest one, Jotham. And then he had a parable. And he said to those men of Shechem, the trees, they have said to the bramble bush, be thou Lord over us. The bramble, just the weed. And they have chosen that lowly bush. Oh, if the men of Shechem were so foolish that they have chosen the bramble to come and rule over them and to be Lord over them, then how is a congregation with us? And if fire came out of Abimelech to destroy those men of Shechem because of the Lord that they had chosen over them, how is it going to be with us? A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? If I then be a master, where is my fear? Is it ever your grief? There is a people for whom it becomes a grief. Why? Because it lies in them? No. Because it is not the will of the Lord that everyone who has fallen in Adam should so continue. It is his decree that there would be a fall, but also that there would be salvation, thus that is founded already in eternity, a people whose names they are written in that Lamb's book of life, and that fall itself that will be to the honor and to the glory of the triune God. How? We see that in our second thought, that is the lordship of Christ over people who are redeemed by the Son. Redeemed, that is what our fathers speak about, because he hath redeemed us. What does that mean, to redeem? That means to buy back. That means to liberate. That means to set free. At the Passover, all the firstborn, they were dedicated unto the Lord. Why? Because the Lord had spared those firstborn. Thus, the firstborn of Egypt, they were slain. But the firstborn of the children of Israel, they were spared. And what did the Lord say? Those firstborn, they are mine. But later, the Lord, and we read that together, the Lord has made a change in this administration. Thus, he did choose the Levites instead of the firstborn. And then we have read how that those firstborn whose number was over and above the number of those Levites had to be redeemed. Thus, they had to be bought back, as it were. So this father, this mother, they had to purchase, as it were, their firstborn back from the service of the Lord, that they would not serve in that tabernacle as the Levites did, but they could be used in their own service in the midst of this world. Also, we can read about the unclean animals and how that the firstborn of asses, they had to be redeemed if they would use those asses for their own goods, for their own welfare, for their own production in this world. They would have to redeem the ass with a lamb, buy it back. Then we read also of the poor Israelites. Poor Israelites, when he was not able to pay his debts, was permitted to sell himself. Then he could sell himself to one of his brethren, or he could sell himself to a proselyte in the midst of the children of Israel who was a wealthy person. And then he would serve for 6 years, or he would serve until the year of Jubilee, unless that he was redeemed, unless before that time he was bought back by a brother, by a near kinsman. Thus, our answer that speaks about the redemption of the church. The redemption of the church. That is, that the church is a people that are bought, that are redeemed, a people that are bought back. They are bought back from what? They are bought back from the service of Satan, of sin, and of this world. Because it was a people who have sold themselves. Why? Because they were so poor? No. Because they indeed were rich, but they have despised those riches. And in despising those riches, they have sold themselves into slavery. And they have become so enslaved that they are not able anymore to deliver themselves out of that slavery. The slavery to sin, the slavery to Satan, the slavery to this world. What does Solomon say? The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And when a man is in that poverty, then he is not able to get out of that poverty. And it is the poverty in itself that is keeping him in his slavery. Do you ever feel it? Is that ever your grief? Is that ever your sorrow? That slavery to sin, to Satan and this world? Or from what does man need to be redeemed? He needs to be redeemed from the guilt of sin. Why? Because it is the guilt of sin that does condemn him. He is not able just to do away, congregation. Can you just do away with your guilt? When your conscience, young people, is now speaking, and when it is saying to you that you have committed transgression, that you have committed iniquity, are you able and just to put that out of the way? Are you able just to rid yourself of that guilt? No, as long as we are here upon this world, then when nothing is taking place in our life, no, then we are not able just to rid ourselves from this. Paul says, speaks about the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. The ordinances which are against us, do we ever feel it? The guilt that is upon our conscience, that is because there is an ordinance that is against us, that is the law of the Lord, that is the moral law. And then there is a judge before whom that we have to come. Then there is a curse. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that we do not want in ourselves to acknowledge it still. Still within our heart, within our conscience, we know, each one of us, the truth of it. How can we be acquitted of that guilt? The only way to be acquitted of that guilt is that sin would be punished. There is no other way. Is justice flexible? Can a righteous judge look through his fingers at sin? Can a criminal be set free who has not yet paid that full price? Or from what do we need to be redeemed? From the guilt of sin. From the punishment that is due to sin. But that is not all. No, what is the final purpose of the Lord? That is not merely to deliver a man from his guilt. That is not merely to deliver a man from the punishment that is due to sin. No, what is the final purpose of the Lord, the greatest purpose of the Lord, that is to deliver a man from sin itself. Thus it is not justification, but sanctification. That is to deliver a man from the service of sin. That is to deliver a man from the love of sin. That sin would no longer have dominion over him. To deliver a man that he may be forever separated from sin. Thus the purpose of the Lord, the end of the Lord, that is to make for himself a holy nation, a peculiar people. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Therefore our fathers, they speak here, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, and delivered us from all the power of the devil. Thus we have the touchstone of sincerity. From what do we desire to be delivered? Yes, we have a desire to be delivered from the punishment of sin, because there is no one that wants so to be punished. Yes, we have a desire to be punished from the guilt of sin, because that nagging conscience that is within us, that is a burden to us every day. Congregation, those things, they are not uncommon to every person that is in this world. Have you also another desire? Or have you a desire to be delivered from sin itself? Because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Because who has redeemed us? Children, you know that. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a redemption. What a redemption, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. In order to redeem, then a price had to be paid. How much was it, children? How much was it for the firstborn that had to be paid? That was 5 shekels. How much was it for the Hebrews? They have sold themselves into slavery. Well, that depended. That depended on how many years that were left until that he had to receive his freedom again. And so a price was brought. How much time is left for us concerning the punishment of sin? How much time is left for us until that punishment shall be completely paid? It is eternity. It can never be paid. And it will always be an eternity that is left. Therefore, what a price. What price can be laid on this? Our fathers say, not gold. No, not all the gold in this world is sufficient to redeem the soul of a man. Not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood. No greater price could be paid for a man. But what does the Lord say? He says, I have found a ransom. That was a ransom we could not find. That was a ransom that men could not find. But what does the Father say? He says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Thus we have a ransom price. Thus we have a redemption price. A redemption price that is able to satisfy the justice of the Father. A redemption price that is able to satisfy the speaking law. What a love. For Christ to give himself even unto death. Why? Because the redemption of their soul was precious to him. Sometimes we sing that. Costly is life's ransom price, far beyond all sacrifice. But now that redemption, that is making that redeemed people to have a Lord over them in a new way. In a new way. He is Lord over each and every one by virtue of creation. He has a just claim upon the whole human race. Why? Because he is the second person of the divine Trinity. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Thus, it was a triune God that has created man. And it is a triune God who is Lord over all of the creation. But now, the Lord is in a special way, Lord over his people. That is not only by virtue of the creation, but that is now also by virtue of redemption. Because our fathers say, he hath redeemed us. That is why we call him Lord, because he hath redeemed us. both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. That is, that he has bought the people back again. For what? For his own service. For his own service. That they have become his property. And that is, we read, in soul and body. Because he has redeemed them in soul and body from all their sins. The devil, he has sinned only in spirit. Devils have no body. The angels, they worship only in spirit. Man fell in body and soul. Christ suffered in body and soul. Why? To redeem a people. To buy back a people in body and soul. And therefore he has become their Lord, to whom they owe all their allegiance, their entire being. How is that with us? Let us sing 297. Let's sing just the first two stanzas. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy still endure. And thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. The first two stanzas of 297. and thus hath made us his own property. What a blessed confession. Our catechism that speaks about the only comfort in life and in death. And what is that comfort? That is to know and that I am not my own, but that I belong. That I belong to someone else. That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what does it mean to be the property of the Lord Jesus Christ? That means we are owned by Him. That means we belong to Him. What does that mean? It means that He will take care of me. Or would He give His life, even unto death for me, and then leave me over to myself, and then forsake me? That is impossible, because He will never forsake the work of His own hands. What does that mean? If I am His property, that means He will take care of me. That means that He will hear my cry. Oh, it was His people in the land of Egypt and their cry that came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And then the Lord remembered His own covenant, was His own people. It was His own property. And then He will hear them. Or He will see the affliction of a Hannah in her oppression. He will see a Saul when he is praying. Or He will see a Hezekiah when he is surrounded by enemies, and when he is bringing that letter into the house of the Lord. Oh, what does it mean to be His property? Then He will care for me. Then He will hear my cry. Then He will instruct me. Oh, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Means He will rebuke me for my good when I am straying to the right hand and to the left. That means He will come to me when I am not able to deliver myself from my own wickedness and foolishness. And He will say unto me, "Thou art the man." Oh, what does it mean to be His property? Oh, that means He will comfort me. And in that place where it was said unto me, "Ye are not my people," there will also be said unto me, "Oh, you are the child of the living God." It means He will preserve me. He will keep me even unto the end. Oh, is there a greater blessing than to be the property of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all this world in His hand, is directing everything to the good, to the welfare of His own church. But now there is another side. Because when I am His property, then I also owe Him allegiance. Redeemed, bought back, in body and in soul. That means these hands, these feet. That means these eyes. That means this body. That means this soul, this being. That means it is the property, not of myself, but the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means He has a double claim upon me. Because my life was forfeited after that He has created me. And I have rebelled against Him. And I have brought myself even unto death, and he has redeemed me therefrom. Oh, that means that I owe unto him my allegiance. How is it, people of the Lord? Oh, in a time of first love, that was no problem. Then you said, oh Lord, what wilt thou that I should do? Then your heart, then your soul, then your whole life, and that was offered up for his service. And then you could wish that every day it was a Sabbath day. Then you were like Samuel. Oh, then you would like to be coming to live in that temple of the Lord. Maybe you even wanted to be a minister or thought you had a calling to the ministry. Oh, David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Was that not also in your life? Were they not days that you also did own him to be your Lord? And how now is it today? Is it still the same day by day as you go through this life? Or are there now not many times that you wish to be your own Lord? That your soul that is not so agreeable unto his will, and that you are not so desirous to walk after and to follow him? Oh, does that world, from which you have been redeemed, from which you have been bought back, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, does that world still have a place in your heart? We read of Solomon when he was old, that his wives, they turned away his heart. And then we can read that God's children also in the Bible, they have sometimes rolled a sin as a sweet morsel under their tongue. Or is this not to the grief of your Redeemer, of him who has bought you back? What a controversy that the Lord has with his people. His son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. But now if I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Because of sin, because of backsliding, it is necessary that the Lord, he chastises his people. And sometimes then he gives them over into the power of that enemy. Because they have forsaken him. Because they have forsaken his Sabbaths. Then they are in captivity. Are they happy there? No, they are not happy there. You can be sure of it. Oh, they can be walking in the midst of this world and not be happy there. But what do they have to experience? Cannot deliver myself from it. Not for the first time. Come out of Egypt. But I have no power, also for the second time, to deliver myself out of that land of Babylon. But the Lord has power. And the Lord, oh, we say it over and over again, he never forsaketh the work of his own hands. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me, even though thou hast left me days without number. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Oh, how the Lord is looking upon that grieving people as they are laying under the captivity of their enemies, in whom they, unto whom they have given themselves as a Lord. Or is that now indeed not the only comfort in life and death, because he will deliver them? Congregation, is he your Lord too? There are only two Lords. That is Christ and Satan. That is all. And one of these is our Lord. Who is our Lord? What a hard master is Satan in the service of the world and of sin. Promises everything. Gives nothing. Is that not the testimony of the heart of every single one of us? Also the children. You experience that, children. You experience that when you are already so young. You look forward to this or that in this world, and you soon find out does not fulfill, cannot make you happy. And yet, what do? We continue. We continue in that service of sin, a testimony how dead we are. How dead we are from this service. We need, congregation, to be delivered. We're called to forsake it. Forsake the world and every former friend. What do we have to experience? That we cannot forsake it. That we have chosen this Lord, and now we are a slave. Do you experience that? Is that your grief? Is that your sorrow? There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. When we cannot come out from under it, when we lie dead in trespasses and in sins, there is a Redeemer. And that Redeemer is mighty. Or he becomes necessary. Did he ever become necessary to you? When we will lose all our power and all our strength, all that is when the Lord will show to us that there is a Redeemer. Then how precious that Redeemer becomes in our eyes. One day that people, they will be completely delivered. They will be completely delivered from what burdens their heart. Sin, Satan, world. And then they shall be ever with the Lord. And then they shall serve him. They shall serve him perfectly. But if he will be Lord to us then, he must become Lord to us now. It has to happen in this world. Judas had much religion. But he also had that bag. And Christ, he was not his Lord. May he be for us a warning. And may the Lord's just right
and claim upon us, be bound upon our heart, all that our departure from him may indeed become the grief of our soul, and that we may have a desire to be reconciled to him again, and that Christ may also become our Lord, not only by virtue of our creation, but also by virtue of his redemption. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, impress thy word upon our hearts, thy claim that is right, that is just. Oh, that we would leave this place with a burden upon our soul, and that we may have a desire to return again. Oh, show unto us our great misery, and make thy dear Son precious unto us. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Bring us safely to our places. Watch over us this thy holy day, that we may keep it holy. And that thou wilt go with us in the week that is to come. The farmers, when they do go out into the fields, and wilt thou provide for them, as thou alone art able to do, that we may feel our dependence every moment in the earthly things, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. The mothers in their households, teachers in the school, each one of us in our place in this life, we also in traveling, and in our meeting in this week, wilt thou watch over us for good, and look upon us when we are not with each other. In the week also that is to come, help those that do lead in the services. Also him that labors in Calgary in this day. And wilt thou bless thy own word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 248, 1, 2, and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1, 2, and 4 of 248.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.